Grace and peace to you, dear saints, from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. He, Jesus, also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these readings this morning, which point to deeper truths than what we see on the surface. Lord, you present to us a mustard seed, and yet it grows into the greatest of all shrubs. You present what the people want, a king, and yet you are interested in what's in the heart. So Lord, guide us not by what we can see, but by the eyes of our heart, that is, the eyes of faith, so that we always see you and cling to you in every time of need. Heavenly Father, be with us now. Pour in your word, concrete it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Let it guide us into your heavenly arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We got that slide. Okay. Who can see a young woman? Who can see an old woman? Who can see something different? Yep, we better call the... Okay, it's that classic image, isn't it? "My wife and my mother-in-law," it's entitled. And you can see the young woman if you look away to the left. Okay, if you look at the nose of the old woman, that's the jaw and cheek of the young woman. Okay? Depends on your perspective, doesn't it? It's interesting when they've done surveys on this, depending on the age of the people that have been surveyed, they get different outcomes on what they see. Thank you. We live in a world where many people believe that what you see is what you get. People trust their eyes to reveal what's real and what's true. This approach certainly has its benefits. It's easier, definitive, and more efficient. It's not, however, without problems. A "what you see is what you get" attitude assumes that life is limited to physical and tangible realities. It's superficial, and it puts humanity at the centre as the final interpreter and arbiter of life. Now, I know that I, for one, am a poor judge of many things. I'm sometimes guilty of seeing what I want to see, what I've been taught or told to see, and what I expect to see. And just because we look at the same thing doesn't necessarily mean we see the same thing. Three eyewitnesses to an accident will most often tell three different stories of what they saw. Merv and Robert would attest to this observation from their professional lives as police officers. Would that be right? Different people will give you different accounts of what they saw. Take the story of Saint Francis preaching to the birds, for example. His companions were undoubtedly enjoying their camaraderie, their journey, and the surrounding countryside. They would have been aware of their environment generally, but probably paid scant attention to particular details. Saint Francis, however, saw things differently. Francis had great love for animals and was especially fond of the birds of the air. He liked to refer to animals as his brothers and sisters. As the story goes, Francis went right up to a flock of birds and kindly urged them to listen to the word of God, saying, "O birds, my brothers and sisters, you have a great obligation to praise your Creator, who clothed you in feathers and gave you wings to fly with, provided you with pure air and cares for you without any worry on your part." Apparently the birds showed their joy in a remarkable fashion. They began to stretch their necks extend their wings, open their beaks, and gaze at him attentively. It is reported, he went through their midst with amazing fervor of spirit, brushing against them with his tunic. Yet none of them moved from the spot until the man of God made the sign of the cross and gave them permission to leave. Then they all flew away together. His companions waiting on the road saw all these things. What his companions saw was a flock of birds, whereas Francis saw a congregation of kingdom brothers and sisters, albeit feathered friends, and an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of their Creator's love. You see, dear friends, what we see isn't so much determined by the things seen, but by how we see. I'm convinced that one of the main purposes of the Bible and the church's sacred doctrine is to teach us how to see, not just tell us what to see. St. Paul reminds the Corinthians that we walk by faith, not by sight. Samuel looked on Eliab and thought he was the Lord's anointed, the next king after Saul. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Human seeing is easily distracted by outward appearance. God's seeing, however, is inwardly focused and heart-based. I'm not suggesting that we should reject outward and visible appearances, rather acknowledge and accept that our life and world isn't limited to what we see. For every outward appearance we see, there is a deeper inner reality. What you see is what you get way of living is too limited, too narrow, too small. It obscures the fullness of God's life and presence among us. It offers no hope for reconciliation, forgiveness, healing, transformation. It says to us, this is as good as it gets. If that's how we see our life in the world, then we need to learn to see differently. God's seeing reveals that in Christ there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. The Holy Spirit is always inviting us to see more deeply. That's what Jesus' parables are about. They are the lens that helps human seeing come into alignment with God's seeing. They allow us to peek into God's kingdom while looking at the things of this world. Parables stretch us to see in a different way. They rarely give answers. In fact, as a preacher, you could spend your whole career just preaching on the parables of Jesus and never exhaust ideas. Instead, they sharpen our focus and cultivate a deeper vision. Parables ask us to let go of a what you see is what you get world and trust that what we see is not all there is. There's always something more going on than what we see. There's always a kingdom filled with the presence of God. The kingdom of God is intimately woven into creation. God is always at work in our lives, like a seed scattered upon the earth. Just as a seed does its seed thing, the kingdom does its kingdom thing. This can be very difficult to understand. At times, outward appearances may even suggest God is absent and may look like nothing is happening. We sleep and rise, we wait, we trust, we hope, we pray, we go about the ordinary work of life. But it's within that ordinariness that the life of God has already been planted in each one of us. One day it sprouts, it grows, the invisible becomes visible. We now see what has always been. The full harvest is always there, hidden in the seeds. It may often be invisible, but it's never absent. And I'll give you an example. From our ecumenical pastors' meeting, there was a desperate plea to raise enough money, to start another school ministry project, because most of the schools in the northern suburbs have a school counsellor. What do they call it? The school's ministry group. John Hartley Primary School doesn't currently have one. And the cut-off date for raising the funding was this coming Wednesday. Now, God met that need in a very immediate way. And the pastors involved in that, Pastor Lindsay Mays and Pastor Peter Riggs, were beside themselves with joy. They were going from a moment of distress in our pastors' meeting and prayer about, well, what step do we take next? We need to have another urgent meeting. To suddenly, that afternoon, being delighted that not only had enough money come in, but a surplus of $500 had come in. So now they've gone from, oh, we've got to have another meeting, to, oh, now we can advertise for a suitable candidate for the position. So the school said, yes, we'll take it on, but you need to fund this first stage and then we'll make it part of our budget for next year. So now that money has been met. The full harvest is always there, hidden in the seeds. The full harvest is always there, hidden in the seeds. May often be invisible, but it's never absent. In first century Palestine, mustard was considered a weed. Jesus compares the kingdom with such weeds. Now, why would he do that? What is it about them that Jesus uses weeds as a metaphor to describe the kingdom of God? Weeds always pop up where and when you least expect them to. No matter how hard you try, weeds are impossible to eradicate. And they have a habit of taking over. That sounds to me exactly how God operates. Just as weeds take over, so does the kingdom of God. You can refuse to plant it, you can pull it up, you can cut it down, you can even poison it. But regardless of what you do to it, it just keeps coming back. No person or situation is ever God forsaken. Compared to the needs of the world, the kingdom can often look small, insignificant and inadequate, like a mustard seed. Looks, however, can be deceiving. It's only an optical illusion. Rest assured that the kingdom will take over. The birds, seeds, and weeds of life are everywhere. Don't just look at what you see. Search deeply for what is there. Look again if you need to. Look more deeply. Change how you see. Behind every bird, seed, weed, and human calamity is the faithfulness, promise, and power of God to change lives. If anything is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See? Everything has become new. Even you, Dougie. And if everything has become new, then the kingdom of God is here, and you can rest confidently and peacefully in its shade. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.